show. Let's roll. Line number one, say good morning to the president at the NLTA. That's Dean Ingram. Dean, you're on the air.
Good morning, Patty. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you on, sir.
From the outset, I want to say that the NLTA and its members fully recognize the fiscal situation the province finds itself in. There is no doubt about that. And there are some things in the Green Report that deserve serious consideration. The reference to diversification of our economy. Those are things there. But I would suggest that recommendations that are in there, if they don't hit the bar on these two things, the question has to be brought as to why to implement them. Will the recommendations bring an economic benefit? And will the recommendations have an educational benefit? And that's the lens for which I'm looking through these recommendations, and I am looking forward to engaging as part of the consultation process with government as part of the budgetary preparations. And our teachers, our members do recognize the problem, but we have the implement recommendation to actually move us towards where we want to be.
Well, a couple of things. So, for instance, there are some references to additional supports for people, students with disabilities, mental health issues, and otherwise. Okay, some of those are from the 2017 educational summit that the Premier brought together. But some of the things that I just don't know, I think it's a clear example of trying to manage the place like a business. Making reference to extending the school day for teachers to reflect an 8-hour workday, it just doesn't really speak to the reality of life for teachers. It just doesn't. So I don't even know why anyone would include that, because if we're talking about better educational outcomes, that would do nothing for that.
I couldn't agree more, Patty. I mean, I'm sure you're aware, and I expect you have someone that you're in close contact with to verify this, but if you look at the teacher workday as being solely a 5-hour instructional, it is much more than that. Following the end of the day, teachers are engaged in preparing for their classes for the next day. They're engaged in correcting work amongst a whole plethora of other things as well. But as I read the recommendation and I've read the report and I'm still going through this, there's a lot there. The way I read it is suggesting that teachers would conclude their instructional day and then from there proceed directly to, in essence, team meetings, division meetings, coupled with professional learning opportunities. That stretches. So the question then becomes, will the teacher then have time to do their preparation for the next day? I mean, you just can't walk into a class the next day and start without preparation. What will happen to a number of teachers engaged in tutoring students outside the school day, after school? Not to mention the impact. Extracurricular events are a key and integral part of the school system. Now, COVID has dampened some of those things without question, and it had to be. But when things return to normal, and they had to believe they will approach normal, hopefully during the next school year, this implementation would kill so many things that are so valuable to the school system. And it begs the question, will this have an economic benefit? I would suggest no. And will it have an educational benefit? I would certainly suggest no on that front as well.
What's the rationale behind backing out administrators from the NLTA? Again, that seems like a in-house housekeeping as opposed to economic recovery. Do you understand what that's about? Because I'm not sure I do.
Well, when I see this, that I can't see any support cited for the recommendation that our school administrators shouldn't be members of the association. We know that principals and vice principals are, in effect, and appropriately so, the lead teachers in their schools. They had to be certified as teachers, and they're teachers first. When we look at our context in this province, it promotes unity in the profession while allowing for role clarity. We see this in jurisdictions across the country, Alberta, Saskatchewan, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, as well as this province. And I'm aware of other jurisdictions where that has happened, that they removed from a common professional organization. And what I've seen in those jurisdictions, British Columbia being one, you see a continuous unrest, and there's a lot of time, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of effort being redirected to dealing with union issues, grievance, and other hierarchical conflicts. So our model bears success. Teach, and again, just one illustration, that we have a number of schools, many of our school administrators teach too. I know of one school where the school principal is actually a full-time teacher. So they have another staff member with them. So how does that blend? So I don't see how this would, again, improve educational incomes. It certainly wouldn't improve economic outcomes.
No, probably not. Okay, so, you know, brain drain and the quality and caliber of education is not just pandemic recovery, it's overall success, long-term viability of the province. A couple of other things which are not necessarily NLTA issues, but of course everything in education will have some impact on your membership. Mm-hmm. But the potential to do away with the school districts, both French and English. I get that we've got a lot of people already working in the Department of Education. It would be very similar to me in like breaking up NALCOR and taking some of that back into the energy department itself. But on that front, I seem to think there's a bit of sense to it. I wonder if some of these structures that we have in place, whether it be agencies, boards, and commissions, are 100% necessary. Your thoughts on abolishing the districts as they are currently structured?
Well, when I read the report, and again, I'm still going through this, as I see some very, very vague references as to how there would be an economic benefit on that. And I guess my frame of reference comes down to what I've seen in the past. And this province used to have 27 school boards, which were reduced to 10, which were reduced to 4, and now reduced to 1 NLESD plus the Francophone School Board.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the budgetary things that were done, I mean, look specifically at the move from 4 to 1, the most recent change, I haven't seen the economic benefit from making that change. I haven't seen the details on that. What I do know is that the NLESD and the CSFP do provide supports for schools through their staffing arrangements. Back to the point that if there's no economic benefit, which again, looking back on the track record of merging and amalgamating school boards, we didn't see that with the 4-to-1. So if there's a questionable economic benefit, then the question becomes, will there be an educational benefit? And if what I do know is with the supports that districts provide to schools, that could result in, likely will result in, a further downloading on the school, provide supports for the teachers in that school, because then you're dealing with the school administration having to deal with a number of these things as opposed to district personnel. So that's the vagaries that I see, and right now at this juncture, based on what I've seen in amalgamations previously, which did not give the economic benefit as envisioned, these are why I have concerns about the vagaries and where that would actually play through.
Okay, so like we're going to ask all of the groups like yourselves, is what role do you play in the solutions? Because if we have an expenditure issue, an overspending issue, fair enough. You know, there's also references to how many schools have so few students and 3 schools that have no students, which I assume means is simply an empty asset with carry costs like insurance versus anybody actually works there. So where do teachers play a role in moving down the line, like they talk about wage freeze for people working in the public sector and otherwise? So what role do you play in our collective solutions?
Well, I think, yes, we do want to be engaged in the decision, and we want to engage with Minister Cody and her staff to move forward. It's in everyone's best interest, the entire province, everyone living in the province or hoping to live in the province, that this province finds itself on solid economic footing. And we would welcome the opportunity to be part of that consultative process. But I do want to just reference a couple of things there, is that when you talk about the small schools right there, I mean, the 3, yes, I know that those 3 schools as referenced in the report, they're not currently being staffed. When I look at some of the other schools, of those schools, and look at the ones that were referenced of less than 50 students, 13 of those are ferry communities. So this is one of the things. Our province's geography dictates that the expenses for education with the lowest population density in Atlantic Canada will dictate that. So I want to put that out there from the outset. These are things that factor into these things with the allocation of teaching units. But in terms of there, you also mentioned the wage freeze. Well, what I can say for myself personally, for 8 of the past 14 years, the teachers of this province have had zeros. Those are the real numbers. This is year 29 in my career, and over half of my career, I've had zero. So wage increase that have been gained during my career have usually been at the level to offset inflation in that year. So the teachers of the province have seen an erosion of their compensation in terms of their buying power for my entire 29-year career. That's a simple fact of the matter there. So I want to suggest that, I should put out there, not suggest, state the fact that teachers have had, from half of my career, zeros. And during the years where there was increases, it typically matched the inflationary number for that year in isolation. So, but getting back to the point there, we always will respect collective agreements that we signed with the parties. I mean, it's not the teachers' collective agreement. It's one that the government and the school district sign on to as well, and we will respect the agreements that we signed. We will respect the pension agreements that we have signed, and we would expect government and the employer, the School Board Association, to engage in a forthright, true bargaining process that respects the Constitution and the Supreme Court of Canada ruling, which dictates that bargaining is an inherent right for everyone and it has to be followed through with a process.
I appreciate making time for the show, Dean. Thank you, sir.
Always my pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, the issue of moving pensions from divine benefit to contribution, there's going to be racket on that front. And then there's also reference in the report to some of the schools with so few students. And if you're a parent of one of the students there, they talk about it'd be cheaper to fund transportation for those students to go to the next biggest center in the next heavily populated school. But, you know, there's issues with how long they spend on the bus. There's issues with whether or not they can actually be part of the school community with extracurriculars and what have you. So, again, it's not as simple as it might be portrayed with dollars and cents. But if you want to